Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all again. Thanks, Abram. It is already Thursday morning. That is crazy. Has this week gone by fast for anybody else, or is that just kind of me? Yeah? It is really flying by. But I hope it's been a good week. I've been having a ton of fun, so I hope you all are. Over the course of the chapel sessions, what have we talked about so far? If you got something, raise your hand, shout it out. Let's see. Yeah, anything. The wise king. So we talked about Jesus as the wise king, about his wisdom is what we build our lives on as the foundation. Yeah, very good. Yes, you in the back with the glasses. Yeah. Say that one more time. Jesus as our empathetic king. So he can relate to us. He knows what we go through, what we struggle with on a daily basis, because he did that as well. Yes, in the blue shirt. Yeah, empathetic king. Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah. The serving king. So not only did he come as a king with power and rule, but he also came not to be served, but to serve others, and then calls us to do that as well. Yeah. Yep. Sorry, say that one more time. The loving king. Yeah, so he loves us and cares for us, knows what's best for us, and wants what's best for us. Let's get just a couple more. Yes, you, sir, in the back. The incarnate king. Does anybody remember what incarnate means? Yeah. Yeah. God becoming flesh. The phrase that Hudson used was God-man. And so the fact that Jesus was both fully God, had all the deity and power of God, and also was fully man, which is why he could relate to us. Let's go with one more. Yeah. The promised king. And so all these things were told long before he ever came to earth. And it didn't happen but chance, but according to the plan that God had set long before. So we've talked about all those things. Jesus being king, the kind of king he is. And then we've also talked a little bit about what it takes for us to be citizens in his kingdom. And so one of you mentioned it, is the fact that he's the serving king. Not only is he the serving king, but he calls us to serve others as well. But we established that's pretty hard because it is hard to put other people's needs before our own. And so there are a number of other things that as Christians we're called to do, but we're not called to do that by our own strength. And so what we're going to be talking about today is Jesus as the king that empowers us, the empowering king. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be reading through this, seeing how Jesus equips us to do his work, how he equips us to bring about unity like we talked about last night in the church and as the body of Christ. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Give you guys a second to get there. So, if here Paul writes, starting in verse 11, chapter 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So Paul uses some interesting language here. And he starts off by talking about the fact that Jesus equips us. Not only does he equip us, but he gave himself to equip us. So it is his very being that empowers us to do the things that he commanded us to do. But not everybody is equipped in the same way. We are all equipped in very unique and special ways. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to spend a little bit of time here before we go back to the passage in Ephesians. But Paul addresses this again. I've used the phrase the body of Christ a couple different times. I've used it to describe believers as a whole, the church of Christ, which is the body of Christ. And here Paul breaks down what that actually means. He talks about how a body is something that has a bunch of different parts, about how each part works to support the body in its own unique way, and how every other part relies on each other. The same is true with us and with our gifts. We have been given different things. Like last night, I said that I am not a very gifted evangelist. That's just not my strong suit. But I have found recently that I have a passion and a desire to teach. And that may be something that you guys don't have in your lives, but there are other ways that you may be gifted. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, Paul says that just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we have been baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many. And so that's just reiterating what I just said. It's like, we are all part of the body. As believers, you become a part of the body of Christ, and you have your own special place in it and special gifting. He goes on to say in verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong in the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think of as less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presenting parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack in it. So here we see this idea that there's no hierarchy in the body. There's not a part that's more important than the others, in the sense that each part is needed for the body to function as it's supposed to. If the body were all, like Paul says, if the body were all one thing, it would be lacking in other ways. And so just in that way, as we are all gifted in different and unique ways, we are all gifted in ways where we can serve the kingdom and the church and to advance the gospel in our own ways. So if you'll flip back with me now, we're going to be spending the rest of the time going through the rest of Ephesians. Paul goes on in, continuing on in verse 12, where he says, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. We've been equipped. I think we've established that. We've been equipped for the work of service, but why? We've been equipped so that the body of Christ may be built up. This may not be what we would have necessarily wanted at the start, maybe not what we would have guessed. We are equipped not to do the things that we desire, but when we commit our life to Christ, we are equipped to do the things that he desires and wants for us. And we see, once again, Paul reiterating this idea of the importance of unity. The unity of the body of Christ, of believers, because it's only when we work together that we can demonstrate Christ's love to others well. He then goes on in verse 14 to say, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming." There is no shortage of messages in the world. There are so many messages claiming to be truth. There are so many people who just want to be right and will say whatever they want just to convince people to follow them. And Paul is warning about this right now. We talked last night about how while there needs to be unity in the body of Christ, there also needs to be a firmness on the truth of which we stand. The gospel truth is something to be defended. But it can be hard to discern what those truths are when there's so many different messages, when we're hearing so many different things. How do we know what to follow, and how do we know what is deceitful, what is trying to lead us astray? This is what we need our empowering King for. As Paul goes on to say in this chapter, we will grow and mature in our walk as we walk with Christ. He teaches us truth, but also how to discern truth. And then it is our job that as we grow and mature, and as we learn the truth by studying the scripture, by spending time in prayer, by spending time with other believers in the church, as we grow closer to Christ in those ways, we learn the truth better, and then it's our job to share that truth. And Paul says this, saying in verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." Speaking the truth in love. We're supposed to speak the truth to those who don't know Christ in love. Both of those parts are very important. Those who, if you found Christ, if you would say you are following him now, it is our job to share that message of the gospel. Now, I spent a little bit of time at Iowa State. If you don't know it, it's a big public state school college, and yeah, it had its ups and downs, but there was one day that I remember where I was walking to class, and as I was walking by the library, I saw someone standing on the sidewalk with a sign. I thought that was kind of interesting. He had a megaphone. He was yelling a bunch of stuff. And this was a very active part of campus. So there were a lot of students walking in and out, going to class, going into the library. And on his sign, read a message of follow Jesus or go to hell. And so while there may have been truth in the message that he was saying, there was very little love, if any at all. He came to accuse, to try to guilt this man who was trying, I hope was trying to spread the gospel, was doing it without love, without tenderness. And to be honest, there was a big group of students around him all laughing at him, making fun of him, and it just made him more angry and made the gospel message that he was trying to share even weaker. And so it's important that as we are sharing the hope that Christ has given us, that we share it not only the truth, that is important, but in love. Understanding that we are not sharing this message from a place of pride, of, oh, we're so much better than the people that we're sharing with, let me pull you up to where I am because I'm so much more righteous and I'm so much more holy and you're a sinner. No, we're sharing it from a place of humility, recognizing that, hey, I was in the same spot. I was dead in my sin. I had no hope. And that's when Jesus pulled me out of it. We're to guide others to that same life that Jesus offers. We're supposed to share in truth and love with those who don't believe, but we're also supposed to share the truth in love with each other, with other believers. let's say that if while I was growing up, my mom encouraged me to do my homework, to do well in school. Would you guys say that's a good thing for a mother to encourage her son? Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good thing. I mean, it would be a very loving and caring thing for her to encourage me to try my best, to do everything that I could, and so that I could succeed. Now, if instead of encourage me to do my best, if she continued to come to me saying, not to try your best, not to try your hardest, but, man, Levi, your grades are pretty bad. You must be pretty embarrassed about that. It's like, you really can't do any better? Would that be a helpful way of communicating that same message? No, it wouldn't. There's truth in both of those messages, just like there was truth in both of those messages, but one of those was shared with love, and one of those did not have it. And the same thing is, we are called to that same thing as we walk in the faith with other believers. We are called to hold each other accountable, to restore each other after we stumble or fall, to maybe we come across a situation where we have to help one of our brothers and sisters realize an area in their life where they've let sin in and aren't handling it well. But we are to do that with both truth and love. Both parts equally important. Because you can have truth without love, and you can think that you're loving someone without telling them the truth. But without those two things together, you're really doing neither one well. But it is a very difficult thing to do. It's hard to come to someone, to bring that up, to say, hey, I'm worried about this in your life. I don't know if you're taking this seriously enough, and to not have to worry about them getting mad at you or the way they might respond. It's a difficult thing to do, and it's why we need to rely on Jesus in order to do it well. But how often? Jesus empowers us, but do we need to return to him occasionally? And if so, how often? Well, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, one of the things that he taught them to say was, give us this day our daily bread. This empowerment, support that we need from Jesus, we need daily. To be honest, we need it more than daily. We need it every second of every day. We don't go to church on Sunday mornings and then build up our storage supplies of Jesus and then we're good for the rest of the week. That's not how it works. The support and empowerment that we need every single day. Now, there is a cost to following Jesus. I want to be completely honest, and Jesus even addresses this himself in Matthew chapter 16, where he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. We need this empowerment to be able to take up our cross every single day. Now, that may look different for all of us, but the one thing that remains consistent through all of us is that we cannot do that on our own. So I would encourage you that as you go about today, as you spend time reflecting on the Word of God, as you spend time in your devos and in discussion groups, to take some time to reflect on what are those areas that you're holding on to, where you haven't given Jesus the control, where you are saying, I don't want to pick up my cross, it's too heavy. And I want you to reflect on what those areas are and then pray that the empowering King would give you what you need in order to do that well, to give you the strength to carry your cross, to give you the humility to come before him in acknowledging the fact that you need him, and to give you the courage to share his word with those who don't know it, and to support your fellow believers in the walk with Christ.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.